Turn with me, if you would, now to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's begin reading together in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Not too long ago, a few of us were working here. I believe it was on a Tuesday night. And we were all working on different things, all going in different directions. And I was looking for something that I needed. And I went down into the basement to see if it was there. And when I got down there, Brother Mike was down there doing something. And he and I had a moment there alone, and we started talking about how amazed and how grateful we were for what the Lord has provided for us. We started talking about how thankful we were to be a part of his ministry. A lot of work, but how thankful. Just how thankful. We were talking about how thankful we were for the fact that he saved us and called us. Listen to these next three words. Into his family. How thankful just to be included. Just how thankful. How amazed, how grateful. Look at what the Lord has done. Look how privileged we are to be a part of it. In the midst of all of our thankfulness, Brother Mike said to me, he said, I've actually been meaning to talk to you about baptism. Baptism is confessing all of that thankfulness to everybody. That's what baptism is. So we started talking about baptism, and he told me a little bit about his life's story. It's a story that a lot of believers can relate to. A lot of God's people can relate to. He said when he was a kid, he grew up in false religion. They told their lies to him, and they had him convinced that all he had to do was stand up in front of everybody and make a profession, and then get down into a pool of water, and that was it. He'd be saved. It's just that simple. You tell a child that, and you tell an adult that. Okay, and so he did. He was, in quotes, baptized. And then he went on about his life. He grew up. He joined the military. But while he was in the military, he met a girl named Cindy Pruitt. Been a while since you heard that name, hasn't it? And to his great benefit and his great fortune, Cindy liked him. So much so, she took him home to meet her parents. And while Mike was there, he heard Cindy's father, Darvin Pruitt, preach the sovereignty of God Almighty in the salvation of his people. And something was different. This is what we talked about. This is what he was telling me. He didn't know I was listening this hard. But something was different. As he listened to Brother Darvin time and time again, he heard the truth of God's will, not mine. God's way, not mine. God's work, not mine. God's choice, not mine. God's glory, not mine. He's high, I'm low. He's in the heavens, I'm in the dust. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit of God opened his eyes to see Christ in the midst of all religion. The Lord revealed Christ to our brother. The substitution of Christ. From my own personal experience, substitution has been and is, every time I think about it, just the most glorious light bulb moment for me. We were talking about that in the hallway. Substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we just heard our brother Saul say, what must I do? How many people came to him saying, what must I do? He said the very same thing that the others said to him. That's what everybody says. What must I do? And then the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. And the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. God revealed to him, it is finished. What must I do? It's finished. Oh, that's great news. You are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, he told me right down there in that basement that for years now he has felt a dilemma. He said he knew that baptism was one of the ordinances that the Lord gave for us to observe. But he said he didn't want to do it because he had to do it for his salvation. How many people can relate to this? I'm telling you his story because I know we can relate to this. I know we can. He said, I didn't want to do it because I had to do it for my salvation. That was the false condition that was put on him from that false baptism of his childhood. Something has to be different from that. But he said, and I'm paraphrasing, you know that. He said in his own words that the Lord finally revealed to him that he just wanted to confess Christ. The Lord finally lets all that stuff go. How does this apply to me? What am I? And then he just reveals Christ. And you just say, I just want to tell everybody, I just want to say Christ. He just wants to confess what Christ has done for him. He told me right down there, he said, I know it's not salvation. It's a confession of salvation. So to that I said, Amen. Amen. He said he wanted to confess to the Lord that he believed on him. He wanted to confess to everybody else, all of his brethren, that he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to him, well, then I think you ought to be baptized. I don't always say that in conversations, but after that conversation, I said, I believe you ought to be baptized. And now here we are. For this confession, I wanted to look at this story because what Brother Mike said to me down there in the basement made me think of what this eunuch said to Philip. He said at the end of verse 36, what doth hinder me to be baptized? What would hinder me from being baptized? Our brother said, I don't want to do it because I have to do it for my salvation. And that's right. That's right. If we feel that way about it, if we feel that we have to do this for our salvation, then we ought to be hindered from doing this. Well, let's wait a little while. What should hinder us from going into that water right there? What should hinder us? Well, seeing it as being our salvation should hinder us. Seeing it as being a component of our salvation. Seeing it as being the final step that actually saves us. If that's what we believe about that tap water right there, then that should hinder us from doing this. All right, well then what should encourage us to do this? Seeing this right here should encourage us to do this. Look at verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Does that make you want to say, thank God? As they were sending all those accusations at him. He did this, and he did this, and he did this. Don't you cry, thank God that man did not open his mouth. He didn't do it. I did. But God the Father put me in him. I was standing there in him. And they were pointing their finger at me in him. And as they said, Gabe Stonaker, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, our Lord Jesus Christ did not open his mouth. Verse 33 says, in his humiliation, I am humiliated over my sin. And not only did he take my sin, he took the humiliation that goes along with it. He stood there in my humiliation. He made it his own. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. What does that mean? That means he was judged. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He died. He died. What does that mean for us that he endured that? What does that mean concerning us? What did he do for us by enduring that? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. He was reading, this eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, which is so glorious, but turn with me to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. This is Christ declaring what he endured and what it means for us, what he accomplished through his suffering for us. Isaiah 63, verse 1, it says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? Who is it? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's who it is. That's who is coming in his red dyed garments from the sheepfold. When you look up all the names of those cities, that's what it means. Red dyed garments from the sheepfold. Christ said, I'm coming. Your Savior is coming. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Verse 2 says, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why are you red in your apparel? And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. Why does it look like you've been treading grapes? Verse 3, he said, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. He said, I endured the wrath of God's vengeance on the sin of my people alone. It was a moment of vengeance. It was a moment of anger. It was a moment of wrath, and I endured it alone. Verse 7, he said, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. He said, I am not going to leave them in their sin. He went on to say, so he was their Savior. I'm not leaving them there. So he was their Savior. Watch verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. What did his suffering mean for us? What did it accomplish for us? Salvation, redemption, deliverance by the love and pity of God Almighty. That is all that we're confessing in this. That's all that we're confessing. We are confessing what he accomplished for us. We are confessing our hope in his accomplishment. His accomplishment alone. We get in this water and we go down under it. And this is what we're confessing in that. You know, our Lord gave the Passover, which he did away with when he established the Lord's table. And between the Lord's table now and baptism, he gave us these ordinances. And whenever he gave the Passover, he said, as you do this, when your children ask, why are you doing this? You tell them why. You tell them we're remembering what the Lord did for us. And you explain to them what this means. Well, in this, when we go into this water, we go down under it. And what we're confessing in that is, I deserve to die. I am a sinner, and a wage must be paid for my sin, and that wage is death, and I know that. But my hope is that I died in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's appointed unto man once to die. And my hope is that when he died 2,000 years ago, I truly died in him. Our Lord said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, Martha, do you believe that? I do. To his credit, he has caused me to believe it was appointed unto me once to die. And I died in him. Will I lay this body down? Sure I will. That's not death. That's life. That's being delivered from the body of this death. But my hope and our hope and every believer's hope is that when he died, we died in him. When he died hanging right there on that cross, our hope is that he really did die for me right there. And my hope, our hope, is that he satisfied God the Father for the payment that I owed him. God is not looking for a payment out of me any longer because Christ truly settled the debt. He truly settled the debt for me, for us, in the grave of his death. And my hope is that when God the Father gave life to Christ again and raised him from that grave of death, my hope is that God the Father gave spiritual life to me, born again. In time, the Spirit brings that life to his people. But raised me, raised us from the grave of death with Christ. And then with Christ, in him, there's no possibility of returning to that grave. Christ has removed all the sin that could bring me there. In him, because of everything he endured for me, there is nothing left on me to condemn me. Nothing. He took care of all of it. He put it all away by the sacrifice of himself. And that's what we're confessing. When Philip declared that to that eunuch, he was reading Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and the eunuch wanted to know, what is this? And he preached the Lord Jesus Christ to him. And when Philip declared that to that eunuch, go with me back over there to Acts chapter 8. Philip declared what Christ sovereignly and lovingly did, and the Spirit of God opened that eunuch's heart, and he caused him to see. He caused him to believe. He caused him to fall in love with Christ, his Savior. And it broke him. It put thankfulness in him. And that eunuch said, "Brother Philip, is there anything that hinders me from confessing to everybody what Christ has done for me? Is there anything that would hinder me from that?" And Philip said in verse 37, Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It takes the power of God to put that faith in a person. "I believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. I believe Jesus Christ is the begotten holy image of God Himself. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only man who could accomplish so great a salvation. I believe that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe He is my all and in all. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ is the only hope I have before the judgment throne of God. Thank God, I believe He has covered me in it head to toe. I believe, and I'm putting all my trust and all my hope in the fact that He's covered me in His blood head to toe." Philip said, "Stop the chariot." Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now I know from personal experience that Philip was thrilled to baptize that man. Baptism is not our salvation. But when somebody says, "I love Jesus Christ, and I want everybody to know," my heart skips a beat. "Would you baptize me? Would you mind baptizing me?" Would I? I'm telling you from personal experience, I know Philip was thrilled to baptize that man. When a servant of God baptizes a man or a woman, often we say, "I baptize you, my brother or my sister." And we mean it. That's what this confession is acknowledging: union with God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity, union. Brothers and sisters with Him, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what we are, brothers and sisters in and because of our elder brother. Our Lord Himself was baptized. Does that tell us anything on should we do this? Is there any importance in this? God Almighty, come down into the flesh, the likeness of man. He was baptized. What was He doing being baptized? Confessing His union with His people. He said, I want to tell everybody. I want to confess my union with my people. We are confessing our union with Him, being joined together with Him, in Him, one in Him. We have a glorious union with Him, in Him, and with each other in Him. We are family. We are blood family because we've been included into the family of God by the blood of God. And I know this is maybe an unconventional baptism message, and I normally don't even say people's names, but Mike, it thrills my soul to baptize you. Knowing your confession, believing your confession, it thrills all of our souls to call each other brethren, doesn't it? We believe this. He said, if you believe this with all your heart, we believe this, don't we? You believe this, don't you? You believe that Jesus Christ is the only provided redemption that there is, don't you? As soon as a person confesses that with their tongue, it's time to stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. Philip said, come on, brother, let's both go into the water. Come on, brother, let's both go into the water. Let's both go into the water. May our Lord be glorified as we observe this ordinance together. All right, Brother Mike, you can go back. Brother Eddie, you come up, and if you men would move this pulpit.